Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
Good morning. I'm Solomon, standing in for the good-looking Simon Brown. The show this morning, we've got guests Anneke van Rooyen, Ravine Ramlakhan, and Nick Spruill. Let's go a little bit of market news. Rand dollar at 17.87. We've got pound at low 23s. You've got euros trading at mids 19s. Crude oil is trading somewhere between 72 and 73. And gold's hanging on at $2,500. Crypto index down by 1.67%. Bitcoin at about 57,000 and holding on. In the show, we're going to have a bit of market news. We'll have a bit of alternative investment trading. And then we'll have maybe a fun fact at the end.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Good morning, Anneke. Anneke from My Wealth Investments.
Good morning, Solomon. How are you?
Yes, all good. Thank you. Let's jump right into it, Anneke. Anneke, we've seen some of the prints coming out on the inflation data. We've seen some of the political news around the GNU. We've seen it seems like it's quite positive. We've seen some of the growth numbers. What do you think are the tailwinds that we can anticipate that underpin the SA market specifically?
Yes, on the local front, the tailwinds definitely are still lower inflation numbers in line with global markets as well. So the lower inflation will result in lower interest rates. We're expecting a 25 basis point cut in September when the MPC meets. And then, of course, the two-pot system kicks off today, and we're expecting anything between like 70 to 100 billion that will flow into the pockets of consumers. So this will definitely be to the benefit of the SA economy. So we're looking at accelerated growth in the South African economy. We're already seeing the South African currency benefiting from the positive developments after GNU was announced, plus we also benefit from the weaker dollar and the lower bond yields in America. So there's a whole lot of tailwinds. We're looking at a more stable political environment. We're seeing a shift in the sentiment of foreign investors. We're seeing substantial inflows into the South African bond market, plus the South African equity market. So there's actually quite a few tailwinds that's underpinning the positive story at the moment.
Seems like all good news, Anneke. You're right, stimulus on the two-pot system. Of course, if a 25 basis point is priced in, obviously that might be good for stock markets. Might lead a nice segue into the sectors on the back of those tailwinds. As we know, there's sometimes there's some distinction between valuation, stock price, and growth. What are you seeing as the sectors and maybe one or two of the shares that are going to be benefiting from these tailwinds?
Well, there's quite a few sectors that will benefit, but I think the retail sector definitely will definitely benefit in the short term. Your clothing and apparel retailers will benefit. Also furniture retailers, but then also see the banks as major beneficiaries because a lot of consumers will use some of that money that they withdraw to do debt repayments. So if you ask me for some stocks that I like at this stage, I think in the retail sector, Mr. Price still stands out. Fushini Group, diversified retailer, ShopRite, food retailer. If you look at the banks, the big four South African banks still offer very good value in terms of their valuations. And I suppose the real estate sector will also benefit. We might see a little bit of pressure in the short term on the insurance sector and the asset managers because they will deal with these outflows. But I think that is short term as these sectors will also benefit from a market that is performing much better. And, you know, the bullish mood, I think, will continue for the markets based on a dovish Fed and a soft landing in the US, the anticipated soft landing in the US. So quite a few sectors that will benefit. And in terms of valuation, the South African market, still valuations are still very attractive, especially if you compare it to overseas markets.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the U.S. story is a good story. We've seen some nice equity growth in the U.S., the index as well. So all good news, seems like, Aniki. And thank you so much for your views this morning. Appreciate it. And we'll chat soon.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Ravin Ramlakhan from AfroAsia, the head of structured products. Good morning, Ravin.
Good morning, Solomon. How are you?
All good, thanks. Nice having you on the show. Ravin, let's jump right into it. You're the guy looking at the volatility. You're the guy looking at markets across SA and offshore. What are you seeing in volatility in offshore equity markets, and where are you seeing money being parked at the moment?
Solomon, thank you. In offshore markets currently, our investors are still chasing technology stocks, and especially the Magnificent Seven. Obviously, the Magnificent Seven are Microsoft, NVIDIA, Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Meta, and Tesla. Also, there's been some money going into emerging markets, excluding China. And obviously, the last 10 years, some investors have had very good returns in the Indian stock markets. But accessibility is always a problem in India due to exchange controls.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with that. We've seen all the tech stocks dominating, obviously, the U.S. index on a weighted basis. Lots of guys have interest in the tech stocks. I don't know. Some are saying it's an AI bubble. I don't think so, but interesting developments there. What are you seeing as the stocks that people are buying? What are they looking for at entry levels? How are people approaching their investment from a volatility perspective?
Look, Solomon, as you know, it's very difficult to get entry levels right. You know, you can't always pick the bottom in the markets, and NVIDIA is a good example. It recently collapsed and recovered within the month, you know, and I'm talking big volatility swings. So investors are getting a bit nervous just to go and buy the stocks outright. So some are also looking at the index, the NASDAQ 100 index. But, you know, if you're looking at cost efficiency, you would look at an ETF, you know, so exchange, in other words, exchange traded fund. And we are suggesting to our clients the Invesco Triple Q ETF, especially if you're looking at tech, which gives you a medium or long-term outcome, which is also available on our custody platform.
And that's bought at a Rand price or a dollar price, Ravin?
Obviously, this is a dollar price, and it's only for offshore clients at the moment. A bit difficult to do it out of South Africa, but I know some players are looking at doing that out of South Africa, just a pure tech play.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I suppose one of the things we're missing on the from a South African investor's perspective is this access to this massive tech bubble. This big, I mean, the US guys have got it all lined up. We struggle to get it. Would you say that, looking at investments, we should approach it as a average in across your portfolio, and maybe give us a sense of what that average in might look like, Ravin?
So what we, Solomon, no, thanks for asking that question, because we're actually looking at something at the moment. You know, the problem with volatility is that you can suggest a lot of investment strategies to clients, especially if they've got a particular interest, like in this case, tech. So you can buy the stock. I said, buy the index. Look at an ETF. But one step further is look at a structured note. And one of them we're looking at is looking at a structured note, which is based on an average rate basis. So in other words, we're looking at from the start to the end, say in a three-year note, you get the average over the whole period with 95% capital protection. Over the period of the note, we will take 16 fixings, and it'll be 12 fixings and 20 in the 5-year. And what it does, it gives you the average return. Because sometimes when you only wait for the 3 year, end of the 3 years or end of the 5 years, you get affected at price risk at maturity. In other words, the market collapses in the 3 year. And all your gains that you had made over the 3 year, you don't get it. And that is the problem. And that's what we're trying to say, okay, maybe you should look at the average over the period as opposed to looking at just one point at the end.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a nice structure. I think, you know, we've got the traditional investment portfolios. We've got the traditional assets most investors look at. It's always nice to have something different to look at, like your structured notes, like some alternative investment structures. And I think it might make the South African investor, the South African trader, more intuitive. And probably I like that averaging approach on your portfolio. It's more savvy. It's mutable, right?
Exactly. So let me just talk a bit more about it. You know, during COVID and recently, over the last 2-3 years, we've seen a lot of corrections in markets. So just imagine you had investments that are maturing in the last 2-3 years. Just because of the collapse at the end, whatever gains you had made in the previous period of time, you get affected negatively by. And you're like, why did it have to happen now? And that's a big problem with investors at the moment. And they've come to us and said, you know, this is not fair. You know, we waited such a long period of time and it got affected at maturity. So with the averaging, as they say, you know, you're taking 12 fixings in 3 years or 20 in 5 years, and you're getting the average over the whole period. So even if it collapses at the end, you still get a true reflection of what the ETF has done over the period of time.
Ravin, just so on that point, if the note, let's just say, is heavily weighted on tech stocks, it's a five-year outlook, if the bottom falls out of tech, what is the risk then? That's where you come in with your 95% capital guaranteed and you unwind the structure, or what's the...
So that's where it comes in. So we say, listen, you're 95% protected. So from your initial investment, 95% protected. So you'll get 95% minimum back after 3 years.
Okay, right. I think we've got the risk on that, Ravin. Ravin, thanks for joining us. Interesting talking to you, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
Attention all investors and finance enthusiasts. Get ready for the annual Money Summit, Africa's largest and most influential savings and investment event. Join me, Jeremy Maggs, on Tuesday, the 10th of September at the Sandton Convention Center as we connect with over 100 top chief executives and industry leaders across 20 exciting conferences and forums, all in one incredible day. Secure your spot now. Register online at www.moneysummit.co.za for free with the code MONEYWEBGUEST. This is your chance to be part of Africa's premier savings and investment event. Don't miss it.
MONEYWEB now on the money.
Nick Sproul, CEO of Trade Nation. Good morning.
Morning, Solomon. How are you?
Good. I hope you're well.
Good, very well, thank you. You've got some quite big boots to fill today, and hopefully Simon's enjoying a nice sunrise surf.
Yes, absolutely. Let's jump right into it, Nick. Nick, you run a CFD business. You're obviously exposed as a multi-asset broker across the derivative portfolio. What are you seeing from a derivative perspective as where people are putting money into this particular asset or a preference of a particular asset? Where's money going?
Oh, so we're seeing a lot into, as your sort of previous guest alluded to, seeing it into the tech space. People don't want to miss out on the moves. And obviously CFDs provide an element of gearing and leverage for clients, which means, you know, your profits and losses are potentially magnified. So we are seeing a lot of exposure into that side of the market. We're seeing clients pile into gold. They've had an excellent run over the last couple of months. And it's been one of those sort of places where you don't want to have missed out. So those would be the two sort of areas we've seen the most activity in.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Nick, we're seeing these CFDs, and a CFD really is probably the only instrument that can be used as a short in a particular stock. In your perspective, we spoke a little bit about portfolioization, alternate structures. How would we use a derivative like a CFD as either a speculator or investor or in a hedging scenario?
Yeah, sure. So for the most investment-minded clients, you can look to build a portfolio of shares or assets using the gearing. You take, let's say, 100,000 Rand, and you select three or four shares in the portfolio, and that would give you exposure, you know, to around about R500,000. Or you could just use it to invest in a sort of broad market exposure where you're buying an index like the S&P or the NASDAQ, and you get a basket of the best companies in those sectors. From a speculative point of view, clients would be looking to trade short-term price movements. So this may be ahead of a company's earnings or in response to some global events. And the speculative traders would tend to be in the market for a few days or even a few hours. And many of these clients would rely on charts or technical indicators to determine where the price is going to go next. On the hedging side, it's also an important application of CFDs because clients who already have an exposure to an asset like a share may be a bit concerned about what's coming out. And so you can sell or go short on that particular asset or share and hope to profit from that short-term price movement against your overall position. So you bank a little profit on the short, and hopefully that share price recovers and you come back and, you know, you've made some additional money that way.
Yeah, good summary there, Nick. I think if you look at, you know, if I go to the casino, I play black and red. The house has always got an edge on me. I think you, in a CFD scenario, you know, there might be some myths around it. But the misconception is that the bookie has a similar edge. That's not really true, because in my previous life, I understood that the house can never have a hedge and the broker never has a hedge. Am I right? It's a true reflection of investor money, investor trading, and investor then as all of the risk and all of the upside.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. I mean, brokers obviously initially have the other side of the trade, and then they may go into the market and hedge that exposure that they have against the client. But the market or the prices and the trading activity that clients are involved in is a complete reflection of what takes place in the underlying market. So you would get 100% of the upside if you are correct in your position. So I think there is a negative perception out there at times about, you know, the house and bookie. There is no edge. Clients these days have significant access to information, probably the same amount of information as most fund managers, and it's how they apply that. And if they manage their money well, manage their risk well, they have a very good opportunity to benefit from trading CFDs.
So I suppose one last question, Nick, then. If I've got an investment portfolio made up of stocks and shares mostly, maybe a little bit of OTC stuff in there, what do you think is the, maybe just give me a percentage, or I'll maybe put you on the spot here, what percentage should I throw into some sort of a derivative where I have this leverage effect as part of my portfolio?
I think, you know, more and more clients are looking to manage some of their own risk and manage more of their portfolios. I would say anywhere between, you know, 3% and 5% to have that little speculative edge and opportunity to profit and make some decisions for yourself would be the right kind of number, in my opinion.
Thanks, Nick. Nice chatting. Go well, mate.
Thanks very much, Solomon. Take care.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you to all the guests that joined the show. One fun fact, Berkshire Hathaway joined the $1 trillion club. It is the only non-tech stock in the $1 trillion club. Thanks to Edward from behind the scenes, Nabulo for behind the scenes, and thanks to Simon for having me stand in as a worthy stand-in for himself. Thank you very much. Cheers out.
This show was brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with our investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.